Can we turn to the Psalm 23? Please read through the psalm once more, beginning at verse 1 of the psalm. The Psalm 23, again, well-known words, but let's just take time to think about what the Word of God has to say to our hearts. Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With that last verse, of course, that is the text this morning. Let's unite, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we thank thee for the goodness and mercy of our God. We thank thee, our God, for the fact that those attributes follow us all the days of our life. And, O God, we thank thee for each one that can testify to the goodness and mercy of Almighty God. And we'd ask thee that thou wouldst bless thy word today and write it upon our hearts and draw us nigh to thee, that we might experience thy blessing as we think about what thy word has to say to our hearts. Come and bless us now, we'd ask of thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. In a book I have at home, it contains thoughts on the 23rd Psalm. And this last verse, on the thoughts that it has on this last verse, it entitles The Hounds of Heaven. And the author quotes an Old Testament scholar who rendered the portion of Scripture, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me or hunt me all the days of my life." And from this he got the idea of the hounds or the sheepdogs called goodness and mercy that followed the flock all the days of their life. And in David's day, the shepherd, of course, would direct the flock and guide the flock with the rod and the staff that we were thinking about. They were very adept with the sling or with the rod in order to keep the sheep in line. But that didn't mean that they also did not use sheepdogs, because they did have sheepdogs. W.M. Thompson, in his descriptions of life in Palestine in days gone by, he says that the shepherd would go in front leading the sheep, while the dogs would have brought up the rear. And the thought here in verse 6 gave Francis Thompson the idea of a poem called The Hounds of Heaven. And it was through reading this poem, The Hounds of Heaven, that Dale Evans, the wife of the old-time movie star Roy Rogers, who was a star in her own right. She has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in her own right. But she said, when she read that poem, The Hounds of Heaven, she said, and I quote, "I saw that it told my story of running and hiding from God over 18 years, of sunshine and shadow, toil and pleasure, success and defeat, trying to get out of my life the sound of those steady, strong, haunting feet that followed me everywhere." And she recognized that the goodness and mercy of God had followed her all the days of her life and was the means for bringing her back to God. And for many years she had a strong testimony to the saving faith of God in her life. And she would have made that known at times, even though she was a famous movie star in her day. I want us to think about these two sheepdogs today, goodness and mercy. And I want to let the sheepdogs loose on the flock today, that we might experience the goodness and mercy of God as we gather around his feet today. And there are a number of things about these sheepdogs that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture today. And the first thing that I want you to see is the confidence of the sheep. These two sheepdogs of goodness and mercy give confidence to the sheep. And you notice the way that it's put, surely, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And here is the psalmist's confidence. And the word surely there is an adverb that brings our attention to the fact of confidence and assurance that these two sheepdogs of God would always be there, that they would never let us down. There wasn't going to be a circumstance, there wasn't going to be some occasion in which they would not be there to surround and to help and to guide the people of God. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And you remember the life of the psalmist here, David. And of course, his life was like all of our lives. There were up points and down points. There were dark points and there were light points. There were high points and there were low points. And no matter what had happened in his life, he could say that the goodness and mercy of God had followed him all the days of his life. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And you know, it's easy to believe that in days when all is bright and when things are going well and all is fine. But you know, it's another thing maybe to realize that when dark days come, maybe the livestock go down, or whether perhaps our life's partner, our spouse, becomes ill, or maybe perhaps some mysterious disease begins to afflict, or perhaps the children are finding difficulty at school or finding work or whatever it is. But here's the certainty of the psalmist. He says, no matter what may be, whether it is a golden light or whether it's a dark day, whether it's the day of birth or the day of death, whether it's a fast day or a feast day, he says, this goodness and this mercy of God follows him all the days of his life. And thank God these two things, the goodness and mercy, have been commissioned to look after every child of God along the pathway of life. And you know and I know that life can be difficult at times, and we can experience the difficulties that life brings. But I'm glad that we have a God who cares and a God who has never let us down. And he really knows what he's doing. And there are times perhaps when we don't know what God's doing. But thank God we can trust in that verse that says that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Remember Joseph, when he went through that series of seeming disasters and ended up in prison and languished there for many years. And he looked back across that after he got out and he'd been made the second ruler in Egypt. And he said to his brothers, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. And maybe you don't know what is happening in your life and the difficulties that you're facing now. But I'm glad that we have a God who knows. And he has sent goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our life. We have the certainty of the psalmist confidence. We also have the constancy of the psalmist confidence. You see, the character of the psalmist confidence. Notice those two things, that goodness and mercy are linked together. They're not alone. They go together. They're always together. Now, goodness speaks about God's provision, and mercy speaks about God's pardon. And those two things have to go together for our help. Now, it is okay, it's wonderful if we experience the goodness of God, if we have the provision of God, but if we have provision and not pardon, we are really the losers. And if we have pardon and we don't have provision, we're in better state because we have the pardon of God. But if we don't have the provision of God, then our lives are not what they ought to be either. We need the two things. And God has sent the two things, the goodness and the mercy. They go together and they're there to be with us. And thank God for that joy that is the strength of the people of God. The goodness of God speaks of joy. And it speaks of the happiness that every child of God knows as they follow the Lord all the days of their life. Thank God we have confidence today. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So we notice the confidence of the sheep. But then could I think to you about the contribution of the sheep? Because while the verse primarily speaks about the goodness of God and the mercy of God following us, also there is that sense in which goodness and mercy should follow the people of God, in the sense that we should be giving out goodness and mercy, and goodness and mercy should follow it in our wake as we go about our life and as we journey through the course of life. Goodness and mercy should be following us in that we are merciful and good to those that are around about us. Now, I said before about sheep that when they're not managed right, they can be the most destructive of creatures. If you have sheep in a particular place, and if they're not moved from place to place, they will just eat the place until it becomes a desert. It'll become nothing whatsoever. And yet, if the sheep are managed, and if they are moved, if they have a shepherd, in other words, if there's a shepherd who knows what he's doing, he moves them from place to place, and sheep manure is said to be some of the most balanced of any creature. And it can fertilize the land, and it can bless the land, and the soil is enriched if the sheep are managed right. And we think how in ancient times, sometimes sheep were known as those of the golden hooves. And that was the reason, because they would change. Not only did they fertilize the land, but sheep perhaps more than any other creature except a goat perhaps, will eat the weeds, eat anything. And so the weeds are kept down and the land is fertilized. And so goodness follows in the wake of the sheep. And isn't it to be the same with you and me? As we go about our life, I wonder what impression we give to others. I wonder whether it is that we leave peace or turmoil in our wake. Do we leave forgiveness or bitterness in our wake? Do we leave encouragement or discouragement in our wake? I wonder today, as we go about, are we an encouragement and an inspiration to others that are around about us? You know, we think back in history and we can recall great men of God and great women of God who made a stamp on their day and generation. Men like W.P. Nicholson, Henry Cook, C.H. Spurgeon, just to name a few, Mary Slessor, some of the missionaries that went out, some of the other missionaries, Amy Carmichael, I'm thinking of. And you think of all these people that made a great contribution in their day and generation. They changed things. They made a stamp for good and for God. And we need to be the same. We need to make a difference. Now, we mightn't be on the global scale like these missionaries, and you have missionary stories, and their stories are written down. But you know, as the little chorus says, you in your small corner and I in mine. We need to preach and proclaim the message of the gospel. We need to be sowing the seed of the precious word of God. And you know, of course, there are times when we do that and invite people in and they will not listen and they will not hear. And how frustrating that can be. And at times we are tempted to give up and we're tempted to lay down our witness for Christ and say no more. But you know, we have to be faithful in our day and generation. Whether they will listen, whether they will hear, or whether they will forbear. We need to be instant in season and out of season. And it certainly is an out of season at the minute. But that does not mean that we do not need to go out there and to witness for Christ and preach the gospel and give out tracts round the doors and do what we can to distribute and disseminate the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now the Lord's goodness and mercy is following you. But I wonder, is there that sense of goodness and mercy that you're giving out to others following in your wake? What do other, if we were to go around and ask people about their impression of you, what would they say? Would they say that's a kind person? Would they say that's a godly person? Would they say that's a person of prayer? Would they say that that is a person who loves the Lord? What would they say? What would be the first thing that they would say about you if they were to sum up what it is, the impression that you leave in your life? So we think of the contribution of the sheep. But one more thing that I want you to see, and that is the contentment of the sheep. The sheep, he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, the shepherd always gathers the sheep into the fold at the end of the day. And the psalmist here is convinced that his great shepherd, the Lord himself, would gather him into his sheepfold at the end of the day, and it would be a time of peace and a time of bliss and a time of blessing. And I want us to think about the house. He says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You think of that place where you will dwell forever. Now, there are many things, or a number of things anyway, in the Bible that are called the house of the Lord. The temple was the house of the Lord. God's house where people were gathered together to worship him. That was God's house. And then heaven, of course, is called his house. In my Father's house are many mansions. But you know the one thing that always is true about anything that is called the house of God is that it is a place where God's presence is specially there. And we think of how the psalmist said, in thy presence there is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And you know, you think of the psalmist here, he's longing for God's house. And what is he longing for? He's longing for this peace. He's longing for this fullness of joy that there is in the presence of his God. And here is the picture of a sheep now is fully contented, is under the care of the shepherd. All the conditions are right. Everything that they could desire. Nothing that would in any way take away from their comfort or for their satisfaction. It's all there. And the good shepherd, the shepherd, the Lord, has provided all that they need. I want to tell you, dear friend, I want to testify today, and each one that is saved in this meeting can testify. Now, we're like the psalmist at times, and you can look at the psalmist, and sometimes the psalmist says, why standest thou afar off, O God? And of course, there are times when the people of God even go through that. But when we come out of that, you'll find, when you read through the psalms, the psalmist always came to the point where he knew that God's presence was with him, that this fullness of joy. Now you read those psalms where he said, oh, why standest thou far off, O God? Why are you far from me? But you read all those psalms. And at the end of the day, he always comes to realize that God has been with him all the time. And at the end of the psalm, invariably, there is that joy. And it's the same with every child of God here. We can say, of course, there are times when we go through dark days, and there are times when perhaps we feel as if the Lord's standing afar off. But when we look at ourselves and when we recognize what God has done for us, we always remember that in his presence there's fullness of joy, and that there's at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. And I want you to think about the pleasantness of God's house. And that, thank God, is something that he gives to his people. Not only in eternity, but now. We think of the pleasantness of God's house. It's a place of joy, a place of satisfaction. The lush grass is there. I read about a shepherd, and he didn't really look after his sheep. And the sheep were emaciated, and they were hungry, and they were looking for grass on the other side of the fence. Now, this farm that the sheep had was down by the seaside. And there was times when there was a particularly low tide. And when there was a very low tide, the sea would go out beyond the fences, down beyond the last of the fence posts. And so the sheep would be able to get out onto the mud flats, and they would get round the end of the last post, and they would get into the next farmer's fields, which were lush with grass. But of course, since they were not used to such rich grass, they could not take it. And they began to scour, and some of them became very ill as a result of getting into the rich grass. And the other farmer went out one day and he found these sheep, about three sheep, lying there in a heap in the middle of the grass because they couldn't take the lushness of the grass. And so he put them on his tractor, got a trailer, and landed them round to the farmer, the shepherd that owned them. And this callous shepherd just got out his killing knife and killed them straight away. He didn't care. He didn't care. How much better would it have been for those sheep if they'd lived in the farm of the good shepherd? And what they tried to do is get in some other way. They got in, they tried, instead of being bought as ownership by the good shepherd, they tried to come in some other way. And it ended up with disaster. It ended up in disaster. You know, there are many people who try to climb up some other way and get in. But you know, it only leads to disaster. We need to get into the good shepherd's flock. And we need to come the right way. And that is through the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. I wonder today if you know his grace and his mercy. We think of the pleasantness of God's house. But then I want you to think about the permanence of God's house. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, no earthly shepherd could promise that. Because if ever a shepherd wanted to keep a sheep for its whole lifetime, they would be parted at death at least. So no earthly shepherd can say that the sheep will dwell with them forever. But I'm glad that we come to one who said, I give unto my sheep, or give unto them, speaking about the sheep, eternal life, and they shall never perish. And you know, that's hard to grasp. This mortal life of ours is only a preparation for the real life, the life of eternity. And thank God for we who are his will dwell in his house forever and forever. But you know, we think about heaven here and the permanence of the shepherd's desire here. We think of the permanence of the shepherd's house. But also we think of the sheep hiding for the shepherd's house. And it speaks about going through the shadow of the death and all the rest of it. But I think that the shepherd here, or the sheep, or the psalmist, is not just thinking about heaven. He's thinking about what he can enjoy here and now. Because we can dwell in the Lord's presence now. We can have his presence in a very real and a distinct way now. We can enjoy his blessing now. And it's not a matter of looking for pie in the sky or blessings someday. We want the blessings now. Don't you want the blessings now? Don't you want God's blessing upon your heart now? Oh, what we do then is that we get into the presence of the shepherd. Dr. Andrew Bonner said of Robert Murray McShane that when you heard him preach, that you had the impression, I think it was said of both Dr. Bonner and Murray McShane, that when you heard them preach, you had the impression that they'd come out of the presence of God. I think in those days, the minister immediately retired. He must have gone to the door in those days, but he went back into the minister's room. And they said that when he retired from the pulpit, it was as if he went back into the presence of God. You know, I would long that that would be said of me in any way. That I come from the presence of God and go back into the presence of God. You think of the psalmist in Psalm 27. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. He said that was the one thing. Now, of course, there were other things that he desired. But what he means is that this was such a big thing. This was such a major thing. It was as if it was the one thing that he desired. We think of 1 Chronicles 29 and 3. We read how it says, moreover, because I have set my affection to to the house of my God. And the whole idea there of David's experience was that he loved the house of God. He longed to be there. And when he couldn't be there, he longed to be back in the house of his God. His delight was to worship his God. His delight was to draw near to his God. And here's David. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. At the start, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. But by the end of the psalm, I think really David is saying, the Lord is my everything. Is he your everything? Is he everything to you? And thank God that goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. Is the goodness and mercy of God following you? Do you know his grace and his mercy in your life and in your experience? Oh, dear friend, that you might know the Lord as your shepherd, and that you might know the Lord as your everything. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we do thank thee for thy precious word to our hearts afresh today. We think of how the psalmist was able to really testify at the end of the psalm, the Lord is my everything. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we pray, our God, that each one of us may be able to say that of a truth, that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Bless thy word and write it upon our hearts now, we pray of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Can we turn to the hymn 461? I am not skilled to understand what God hath willed, what God hath planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. We'll sing the first three verses of the hymn. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the one who is our Savior. And we pray that he might be the Savior of each one of us. Lord, bless thy word now. Separate us in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety and watch over us and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen.